So good morning. I hope you had a good night's sleep. And if you didn't, I hope you're able to practice some degree of equanimity. So last night I briefly mentioned that the type of meditation we're practicing here is known as insight meditation or vipassana. And insight means seeing clearly, understanding our experience with wisdom, so that we can live in ways that reduce suffering and cultivate ease, happiness, peace, and freedom. Which is a 1 second description of a whole lifetime of practice. And like many journeys, it happens in stages. And every stage of the development of insight is grounded in mindfulness. Mindfulness being the ability to know what we're experiencing as we're experiencing it, and to know that we know. Which might sound very simple, but in practice is not so easy. So, as I said last night, not many of us can just sit down and start to tell ourselves, okay, be mindful now, moment to moment, from the whole next 9 days. Because most of us have cultivated some very strong habits of not being mindful, of distracting ourselves. So it definitely takes training to develop this awareness and to, over time, have it become more and more the default setting of how we are in the world. So I can't emphasize enough that this is a training. It's a gradual development of our mindfulness. It starts with very simple aspects of our experience, such as the breath and the body. And it slowly brings in more and more complex aspects of experience, such as thoughts and emotions, moods and mind states, until eventually we're able to be mindful of every aspect of our lives, of our experience. And this gradual training in mindfulness is laid out in a key discourse known as the Satipatthana Sutta, many of you are familiar with. Usually it's translated into English as the four foundations of mindfulness, but more accurately, the four establishments of mindfulness. And all the different meditations that are taught as insight practice come from this key text. So over the course of this retreat, we're going to be doing a kind of a tour of some of the key practices from this sutta, this discourse. And all of these practices within the Satipatthana are aimed at cultivating mindfulness, or sati, to use the Pali word. I sometimes use Pali, the original Pali words, because often when these words are translated into English, they lose some of their subtlety, some of their depth, some of the range of meaning, some of the nuances get left behind. So, for example, sati being translated as mindfulness, I'm pretty sure you're all familiar with that term mindfulness because these days it's become so mainstream, even outside of meditation circles. But this word sati has a few aspects that I'd like to highlight. So it can literally be translated as remembering. Not so much remembering the past, but remembering to be present. And another word for remembering is recollecting, in the sense of recollecting or gathering our attention. So in this sense, sati is about bringing the mind back from its habitual scattered, distracted state into a state of more collectedness or completeness or wholeness. So this too is an aspect of mindfulness. So for example, the English monk Ajahn Suchito, when he talks about mindfulness of breathing, he says, let the breath fill the mind. So mindfulness is about having the experience fill the mind so completely that there's no room for anything else. So mindfulness is about remembering to be fully present with whatever we're experiencing in the moment, to know what we're doing as we're doing it, and to know that we know. That's what's known as clear comprehension, which is also an aspect of mindfulness. In the texts, sati is often paired with another Pali term, sampajano, which is usually translated as clear comprehension, being aware of the context of what we're doing. So you may have had this experience of being on retreat. The lunch line is a great example. Sometimes people become incredibly mindful and they're very slowly lifting the serving spoon and very carefully helping themselves and very slowly putting it down. And they're completely oblivious of the long line of frustrated people behind them who are not wanting the food to get cold by the time they get there. So that's an example of not having clear comprehension. Or we might find ourselves waking up in the morning and very slowly, mindfully walking to the bathroom, getting there, realizing we've left our toiletries and our towel in our rooms. So again, mindfulness has that aspect of awareness about what we're doing. This is what we call right mindfulness. So mindfulness is used as a tool to help develop wisdom. And what is meant by wisdom in the context of the Buddha's teachings is the ability to understand the habitual ways that we relate to our experience in ways that cause stress, in ways that cause distress and suffering. And then having the wisdom to understand how to change those habits, those habitual ways of reacting to the world, so that we can live with more ease, more happiness, more freedom. And again, this is a whole lifetime of practice, and we'll begin this journey by working with the breath, as we started to do last night. And why do we start with the breath? Partly because it's always available. If we're alive, obviously we're breathing, so we always have an opportunity to practice meditation. So even right now, as you're listening to me, you can begin to bring awareness to the experience of breathing in and breathing out. And it's important that this awareness is not forced. We're not trying to concentrate on the breath, fixate on it, tighten around it. We're not trying to make it different from how it actually is. We don't need to change the breath in any way, whether it's rough or smooth or long or short or deep or shallow, doesn't matter. We simply know. Stay present with each breath as it arises and passes away. So we're bringing awareness to the physical sensations of the breath, wherever they're clearest for you. So from my perspective, and this is different in different traditions, to me it doesn't matter where you pay attention to the breath. Just let the awareness connect with wherever the physical sensations of the breath are clearest for you. So for some people that might be at the nostrils, for some it might be in the lower belly, for some it might be the abdomen or the chest. Just experiment and see what works best for you. So also in the first few days of a retreat, I think many of us are dealing with quite a bit of agitation, of tiredness, of stress and so on. So we also are trying to cultivate some stability of mind, some steadiness and some calm. And as a support for developing this stability, we use the breath as a kind of a home base to keep coming back to whenever we recognize that we've got distracted. So I can't emphasize enough that even though we call it mindfulness of breathing, most of us are going to be staying with the breath for, I don't know, 1 second, 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes, and then the mind will move away. This is normal, natural, to be expected. It's not a problem. So don't fight it, don't resist it, don't judge it. In some ways, calling it mindfulness of breathing is a total setup because it gives the impression that we're supposed to just sort of lock the attention on the breath and keep it there for the next 45 minutes. I would actually like to call it mindfulness of breathing and thinking because that's a more accurate description of what most people experience when they start to pay attention to the breath. So this invitation when you notice that you've got lost to simply begin again is crucial. With a smile, simply begin again, knowing that this is a normal and natural aspect of the practice and not something we need to struggle with. The more we keep gently and kindly returning the awareness to the breath, eventually the mind settles down and begins to stay there quite naturally for longer periods. But we can't force that process. And the more agitated and stressed we were when we came into retreat, probably the longer it's going to take. But it is a natural process, so just allow that to happen rather than struggling with it. So I'd like to offer a short guided meditation now just to put some of those instructions into practice.